the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Hosanna is a Hebrew word that means, oh, save. The Jewish people used this word to praise Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. As they waved palm branches and spread their coats on the road, they shouted, Hosanna!
From Matthew 21, verses 9 and 11, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the multitude said, this is Jesus.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, this is Jesus.
I just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Many unseen watchers witness the scene. It is dark because the sun refuses to look upon the awful scene. Its full, bright rays illuminate the earth at midday, when suddenly it seems to be blotted out. No eclipse or other natural cause brings on this darkness, which is as deep as midnight without the moon or stars. Holy angels are beside the cross. The darkness mercifully hides the agony of Christ from the gaze of the jeering multitudes. As the darkness lifts from the cross, Christ revives to a sense of physical suffering.
I thirst.
This will quench your thirst. A sponge dipped in vinegar.
In silence, the beholders watch for the end of the fearful scene. Priests and rulers look toward Jerusalem, and lo,
the dense cloud that was here has settled over the city and the plains of Judea.
The Son of Righteousness, the light of the world, is withdrawing his beams from the once favored city. The fierce lightnings of God's wrath are directed against Jerusalem.
It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend Spirit.
Never before has the earth witnessed such a scene. The multitude stands paralyzed and with bated breath gaze upon the lifeless Savior. Again, darkness settles upon the earth. A violent earthquake shakes the earth. The people are shaken together in heaps. Rocks are rent from mountains and go tumbling down into the plains. Tombs are broken open, and the dead are cast out upon the ground. Priests, rulers, soldiers, executioners, and people mute with terror lie prostrate upon the ground. When the loud cry, "It is finished," comes from the Savior's lips, the priests are officiating in the temple. It is the hour of the evening sacrifice. The lamb representing Christ has been brought to be slain. Clothed in his significant and beautiful dress, the priest stands with lifted knife. With intense interest, the people look on. Suddenly,
the inner veil is rent in twain, torn from top to bottom, revealing the most holy place to the eyes of the people.
Type has met antitype. The Lamb of God has been slain. The great sacrifice has been made. Henceforth, the Savior is to officiate as priest and advocate in the heaven of heavens. Satan is defeated. He knows that his kingdom is lost.
My kingdom is lost, and you laugh. Do you realize what is lost?
I do now. Oh, I understand everything.
You understand nothing. No one does but me.
You were once the most beautiful of all created beings, right?
I still am.
Ah, oh, have you recently noticed the wrinkles on your face and how truly evil it looks? Your beauty is gone, disappeared, vanished.
I am also the wisest being, as wise as the Son of God himself.
You were wise, the wisest of all created beings, yes. You held the top position in heaven, next in power to God's Son. You were admitted in the throne room next to God himself. But what happened?
I used the wisdom I had and convinced you and a third of all the angels angels in heaven that I had a better form of government than God's.
You lied to us. That's why we believed you.
Of course I lied to you. I invented lies. I am the father of lies. That's why my government is better than God's. In my government, you can do anything you please. Lie, cheat, covet, kill, steal. Just do anything at all you please to do. That is freedom. God's government is based on laws. 10 of them. You have to obey them. That is not freedom.
Well, that sounds fine. It sounds right and good. It sounds like freedom, but it isn't. Freedom is based on respect for the rights of others. Obedience to just laws bring freedom.
You are thinking. I told you not to. I will do your thinking for you.
Oh, yes, yes, Beelzebub, I know. You said obedience is not freedom, yet you want me to obey you. More deception, lies, untruth.
Call me anything you wish. That kind of freedom is part of my government.
Yes, Beelzebub. You have lost the battle with God's son, and you know it. Admit it.
I have lost the dominion of the earth. I usurped from Adam, yes. But I have not lost control of most of the people. They still prefer to listen to me and enjoy the glitter and pleasures I offer them. They always will.
Always.
Always.
Again, you lie.
Why not?
Why so? I know the truth anyway.
You, my chief lieutenant, know truth?
I do. When you and a third of God's angels, including me, rebelled against God, he did not destroy us. Why?
Because. He had not the power to do so.
God is just, and because he is just, he did not destroy you. Had he destroyed you then and there, and we angels with you, there would have been forever a doubt in the minds of the unfallen beings whether you or God was right.
I was right, and still am.
So God let us live. He let you tempt Adam. Adam fell, and you became king of this world with full dominion. You established your form of government. Hatred, poverty, cheating, killing, sorrow, death. The angels left in heaven and created beings everywhere watched closely. When Jesus died on the cross, the angels were forever convinced that God is right and you are wrong. Never again will they doubt.
If you're so wise, why were we not destroyed when he died on the cross?
Because created beings, other than the angels of heaven, are not yet quite convinced that your government is entirely wrong. When they are convinced, then you and the rest of us, also everyone and everything that still possesses evil, will be destroyed. You are the author of death. Therefore, death should be destroyed. The vegetation, wicked people, everything that is still subject to death will be done away with by fire, and God will recreate the earth in its original beauty. Never again will sin, the one word that describes you and your government, show its ugly head.
In the meantime, you and your helpers will continue to lie to the people, tempt them with the glitter and the pleasure of sin. Me!
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Peter was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. And he made a little wish to catch a lot of fish, but instead he ended up with an empty dish. So Jesus said, Peter, try the other side. Jesus said, Peter, try the other side. So he threw his nets into the rolling sea, and he said, look at all the fish that came to me. Thank you.
Jesus said, Peter, you come follow me. Jesus said, Peter, you come follow me. And instead of catching fish, you'll be catching men. And in my Father's house, your life will never end. 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 I heard about old Ezekiel preaching to the bones. I heard about old Daniel praying from the lions. Then I heard about little David picking up five smooth stones. I heard about that battle when the sun stood still. I heard about old Samson waiting for his hair to grow. I heard about old Jonah learning to do God's will. But greater than all these miracles is something that happened to me the day Jesus came into my heart to stay. That Jesus came into my heart to stay.
Hi, Pastor Perez.
Well, hi, Hannah.
Why are you sitting here in an empty church?
Oh, I love to listen to Mrs. Peterson practice the organ. So soothing. And what are you doing here on a warm Wednesday afternoon?
I wanted to ask you a question about last week's sermon.
Okay.
You said that prayer is really important, right?
Right.
Well, if God knows everything about us and knows exactly what we need, why do we need to pray?
Wow, Hannah, I am proud of you. You really listened to my sermon. I'll bet you're thinking about the text I read in Matthew that says that God sends rain on both the just and the unjust, those who love him and those who don't. The just pray, the unjust don't. But both receive the gift of rain.
So if God is going to do things for us anyway, why ask him for stuff? It would be like me saying to my mom, please give me breakfast. She's going to fix me breakfast whether I ask for it or not because she loves me.
Exactly. Your mom and God act out of love, and love doesn't require anything of the other person. So maybe asking God for things isn't how we should always pray. What do you do when your mom fixes you a delicious breakfast?
I say, hey, thanks, Mom. Great oatmeal.
And?
And that's what I should say to God. Thank you for your blessing.
Now you're on the right track, Hannah. Our prayers should reflect our gratitude for the many blessings God has given us, even when we don't ask for them. Sometimes we get so busy wishing for things we don't have that we forget to thank God for the many blessings we've already received.
The next time I pray, I'm going to do a lot more thanking and a lot less asking.
And I'm going to thank God for young people who actually listen in church. That's a real blessing.
This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is Chapter 8, Finding the Sombrero. I can't back out now, Chris thought as he reached over and took the rope from Willie. He tossed a loop of rope as high as he could, hoping to lasso the top of the rock. Got it, he said after the third try. Ryan and Sammy cupped their hands together and helped Chris get started up the side of the rock. The solid stone felt warm against the soles of his sneakers as he started up. Hey, you kids, get off of that! A big, scary-looking construction worker was headed their direction. Chris hung there as the other shoebox kids scattered. Are you trying to get hurt? The big man yelled at Chris. Stay off those boulders. I'd hate to have to call an ambulance. With the man glaring at him, Chris suddenly felt as small as a bug. He dropped back down to the ground. What were you trying to do up there? The man asked, his voice kinder now. Chris didn't know what to tell him except the truth. A sombrero, Chris said quietly. I was looking for a sombrero. A what? Hey, Jake, another man yelled from a truck nearby. Sombrero, you know, like those Mexican hats. Da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da. The man jumped down from the truck. He pointed his finger at the top of his head and spun around as if dancing. Smooth, Smitty, Jake said. You're a regular Fred Astaire. I know what a sombrero is. He turned and looked back at Chris and then at Maria, who had come back to the two crows. What I don't know is why you kids are looking for a sombrero up there. It's part of our treasure hunt, Maria added. Oh, a treasure hunt, is it? Jake said. Well, that's different. Yeah, the sombrero isn't on top of the rocks, Chris explained. It's a place, some sort of landmark that shows us where to go. Jake rubbed his scratchy chin. So you wanted to get up high enough so maybe you could see this sombrero? Chris and Maria nodded. Jake said. Well, I can't let you climb on these rocks, but I can do something just as good. Come with me. Hey, Smitty, let the bucket down, Jake shouted to his fellow worker. Smitty pushed a lever forward in the truck cab. A long arm attached to the back of the truck lowered a platform with sides to the street. This is called a cherry picker. We use it when we have to work up high, he explained. Come on, Jake gestured for Chris to join him in the bucket. Chris stepped in with Jake, who showed him the controls. Pull this lever back to go up, Jake said. Chris pulled on it, and the bucket climbed slowly in the air. Chris watched as the houses around him lowered out of sight and he could see far beyond them. As Maria watched Chris and Jake rise into the sky, the other shoebox kids reappeared. A few minutes later, Chris and Jake returned to Earth, laughing and joking. Excuse me, sir, Maria asked. Can you tell me if these boulders were moved in here? Do you have equipment big enough to move rocks this size? Jake looked at her, amused. Those? Oh, sure, we have cranes that can lift rocks three times that size. But those particular boulders, nah, they've been there as long as I can remember. And that's at least 40 years. The man suddenly grew serious. Now, stay off those rocks. Well, what did you see? Sammy asked as the kids came back together. Chris wrestled with the rope, trying to get it to release itself from the top of the rock. It did, and he turned back to the group, recoiling the rope. A brave group of treasure hunters you are, Chris said, running at the first sight of trouble. Come on, Chris, Willie said. What did you see? Chris said nothing but laid the rope on the ground and knelt down. He began drawing in the dirt. He drew a straight line, then another line crossing it. Here's the boulevard we're on, he said, pointing to the first line. Here's Straight Street right here. He pointed to the second, then drew a circle at the top. Here's another road up here. The road is round because it goes around. Widow's Peak, Willie said. That's our sombrero. That's what it looked like from up there, Chris said. He stood up. We're going that-a-way, he shouted, pointing down the street. Even Willie was moving fast as they rode east down Straight Street. After about a dozen blocks, they got off and pushed their bikes as they came to a long hill. Finally, they came to the top, and they coasted slowly down the other side. Chris enjoyed the cool air blowing past his face. He just knew they were closer than ever to the treasure. Suddenly, he slammed on his brakes. Whoa! Just in front of him, the street ended at a crossroad. End of the road, amigo, Willie said, huffing and puffing like the others. What now? The black-topped road stopped with a white fence and sign that said, City of Mill Valley, no trespassing. Beyond, the hillside dropped steeply down into a ravine. Chris looked past the sign, then left and right. What does our map say, Maria? He asked. How should I know? She asked. This is your treasure hunt. My treasure hunt, he said. You had the map before. You've had it since I did, Maria said. And who made me the person in charge of carrying the map? But I thought, Chris said. You thought wrong, Maria said. Relax, guys, Willie said. I made a copy of it, just like Mrs. Shue suggested. He reached into his backpack and pulled out a piece of lined paper torn from a notebook. Chris turned to Maria. I'm sorry, sis, he said. It's just that we're so close. I know, Maria said, but is this treasure so important that you have to hurt people to get it? he began, then stopped. He took the map that Willie handed him and opened it up. He studied it silently for a minute while everyone else watched him intently. "It says here," he finally said, "that we're supposed to follow the canyon up to a waterfall. The treasure is found buried beneath a crow." "Another crow?" Sammy whined. "You've heard of X marks the spot," Willie asked. "This time, maybe it's crow watching over our treasure." Chris leaned over the fence and looked at the ravine. "Where does this go? Does anyone know?" "It goes up to Black Canyon Dam," Willie said. "That's why they have the no trespassing sign up there. They don't want people falling off the dam." They listened for a moment. Sure enough, Chris could hear the sound of rushing water far below. "Does this mean we have to go down to the bottom of the ravine?" Dee Dee asked. "I don't think so," Willie said. "Beyond the dam is Black Canyon Reservoir. We can just follow this road to the right here, and it will take us over to the park entrance. It's about half a mile." "But it's almost 5 o'clock," Maria said. "Mom will be coming to pick us up at Sammy's house in a few minutes." "We can't turn back now," Chris said. "Yeah, let's go on," Ryan said. "We're almost there." "Chris, it's waited 100 years, Maria said. "What's another day or two?" "But, hey, I've got an idea," Willie said. "Black Canyon Park is a great place for picnics. Why don't we ask our parents to have a shoebox kids' picnic here this weekend?" "Hey, yeah," Sammy said. Maria looked at Chris and then at Ryan. Chris shrugged. "Sure, why not?" Chris said. "Yeah, but no telling the adults about the treasure," Ryan said. "Mr. and Mrs. Shue already know," Maria said, "and so does Mom." "Yeah, but nobody else," Ryan said. The others shrugged. "I don't think you have to worry about them stealing our treasure," Willie said. "I just don't want anyone getting to it before me. I mean, us," Ryan said. "Right, Chris?" Chris looked at Ryan, but said nothing.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 1, The Mysterious Treasure Map. It was written by Jerry D. Thomas and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.